didn't. I never had a grasp on that. I don't know. It's a good question. Hosheinu v'Hosheya salvation.
You thought of that question?
Yeah, I did think about it, and I didn't see a good answer. I mean, they're right, like you said, the answers. It has to be that it's an indication that when the person is not well, when there's a need for a refuah, it reflects upon a much broader problem. When there's an issue of refuah, the pasuk, it's pasuk in Yirmiyah, the refuah is just a symptom, the need for refuah, just like when a person is not well. So there are symptoms and there is the disease. So you go to a good doctor, will see the symptom and he will treat the disease. An amateur doctor will treat the symptom, correct? Right, there's a symptom and a disease. If something is wrong, a person has something on his foot is bothering him, it's indicative that there's a much bigger problem. There's a much larger problem, and the foot hurting is just a symptom of a bigger issue. So likewise, expand that concept even further. When a person finds himself in a matzav of where he needs a refuah, healing, that's an indication that he's in a much, there's a much bigger problem. The fact that he needs a refuah and he needs healing is an indication that he is in a situation, his neshama, his life is in a situation that needs attention. And the issue that he's dealing with and he needs to go to a doctor is just a symptom of a much greater issue. Look at tzaras. Tzaras really is what we would assume to be a physical disease. A person is not well. A person has tzaras. He is a leper. He has some skin condition. So Chazal said, why is he suffering from tzaras? So Chazal gave a whole collection of reasons. He spoke Lashon Hara. I don't even remember all the reasons. So the tzaras is just a symptom of a spiritual disease that he is suffering from. So when we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu Refa'enu Hashem Ve'erafei, Hoshi'eni V'ivosheya, Hoshi'enu V'nivosheya, that is just the salvation is because we need there's something large. Don't view the illness as something that is isolated. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu told this person, you need to be healed from your malady, that means you should make a cheshbon hanefesh of what you really need salvation from. And we need a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we need Siyat HaShemayim for a person to get to that Siyat that'll help. All right, let's today.
Rav Schwab,
yes?
I'm looking at his sefer over here. He says, refers to spiritual diseases. Of which we are aware, emotional disturbances, fears, apprehensions, frustrations, and bitterness. And he says, Rav Schwab, these illnesses are the result of one's lack of betochen in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A person does not have a munah hashkacha protest, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows him personally and watches over him. He can be beset by all these fears and worries. The cure for this disease is a munah. And betochen is for this reason that we seek the help of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this to be of Hosheinu v'Nivosheya. Rav Schwab is a whole thing. He contends that all physical illnesses is a beginning from spiritual illnesses. That's how it starts. So,
right, that's what I just said. I mean, it's not much what I just said. That is exactly the thing you're trying to say. It's a physical illness is a symptom of a physical of a spiritual disease.
Correct, that's Rav Schwab's.
So Hoshi'enu v'nivosheya, the salvation is on the disease. The refuah is the symptom. You have to treat the disease, not the symptom. Okay, let's go further. Okay, today I want to talk about Baruch Aleinu. Baruch Aleinu Hashem, okay, we're going now to the ninth blessing. The ninth blessing is Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es hashana hazois v'es kol minei sevuasol l'toiva. Now, we have to appreciate that this is a very important lesson. Obviously, when we daven to Hashem, we daven for parnasa, without him for sustenance. I just saw now Rabbi Mansour, I don't know who he cites it from one of the commentators, is that they're really, if you think about it, in the entire davening, put aside Shmona Esrei, there are two major psukim that the halachas in Shulchan Aruch says, if you don't have kavana, you have to repeat. There are two psukim. You know, it's interesting, even Shmona Esrei, you don't have to repeat. If a person, we know that a person.
Tell us what's so that if you don't say the first brachas with kavanah.
Yina yoytze. So, but do you repeat the Shemona Esrei? No, because who says you'll say it better the next time around? A person must have kavanah in the first blessing. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. The first blessing is critical. The person does not have kavanah in the first blessing, so technically speaking, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Does that mean that he should repeat the entire Shemona Esrei? No. Why not? Because it's not likely he'll have kavanah the second time around. If he didn't have kavanah the first time around, who says he will have better kavanah the second time around? So, halacha l'maisa, we do not repeat the Shemona Esrei if we do not have kavanah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says there are two solutions. Number one, If you up to the second blessing and you forgot to have kavanah, what you can do is you can just in your mind review the entire blessing in your mind. So let's say you get up to Atah, you finish Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, and then you say to yourself, shucks, I blew it again. Another day, another disaster. I blew it again. I forgot to have kavanah in the first blessing. So what the person should then do is, in his mind, go over Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Ve'Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Ve'Elokei Yaakov. Go through the blessing in your mind, and that will somehow bring Kavana retroactively into the first blessing. What happens if a person, he is already past the first blessing, he is already in the middle of the second blessing, the third blessing, and now he remembers, uh-oh, I forgot to have kavanah in the first blessing. What am I going to do now? So he says the next best thing is a person should have kavanah in the blessing of Modim. Modim is a very powerful blessing. And some are of the opinion that having kavanah in the blessing of Modim will salvage one's Shemona Esrei. Okay, so these are the two solutions. Try it. If you didn't get past the first blood, then the best thing, of course, have kavanah. And the best thing, of course, is to have kavanah in the first blessing. If you miss that, so then review in your mind the first blessing. And the next best thing is, when it comes to modim, try your best to have kavanah in the blessing of modim. Okay, but what happens if chas v'shalom, the person goes through the entire davening, Shemona Esrei, and he forgets to have kavanah at all? It's nothing but lip service. So no, what could you do? That's life. You're davening in shul. If you're in shul, so no. So you attach yourself to the tzibur. You get credit for just coming to shul. That itself will give merit. It's a kocha tefila. Shliach tzibur. Yes, absolutely. You have to listen to the entire Shemona Esrei. You do the best that you can. And just coming to shul, being part of a tzibur, no. To some degree, we have emuna that it is effective. Okay, obviously there are different levels. Everyone, and these are different pshutim, I don't have to tell you this, everyone knows, you do the best that you can. Everyone knows there are better ways to do things, and there are ways that are not so good, but every little bit counts. Okay, but there are two psukim in davening that if you do not have kavanah, you are required for real to repeat. And what are these two psukim? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If a person recites Kriya Shema and he does not have kavanah the first pasuk, ideally a person should concentrate and do that throughout the entire first paragraph. But in the event chas v'shalom, he does not have kavanah in the first paragraph, at least, the very least, have kavanah in the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which means one of two things. It means that Hashem represents Rachamim, Elokeinu is Din, that we have good days and we have not such good days. But we acknowledge that it's the same God that has given us to what appears to us to be good and what appears to us to be not so good. And then there's the other interpretation, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem who today in this world is only recognized by the Jewish people. The day will come. Oh, the day will come, Hashem Echad, Hashem will be recognized throughout the entire world. Okay, that's the Pasuk, two different translations of the Pasuk. I once had a Dvar Torah to say that the Kavana one should have in the morning should be the first interpretation, and the Kavana in the afternoon and the evening should be the second interpretation. I try to prove that the whole in the first half in Shas, whole Shtikul Torah, the two different translations of the word Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the difference between Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, fine. But what happens if a person does not have any kavana whatsoever? The halacha is, repeat the pasuk. Go back to the beginning of Shema and say it all over again. If you finish the whole davening and you can't talk anymore, so when davening is over, say over at least the first paragraph of Shema. A person should go through the day, should try his best to say Shema. There's another pasuk, Poseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai rotzoin, in Ashrei. A person must have kavana when he says this pasuk, Hashem, you open up your hand and you satisfy with every living creature. You satisfy every living creature. There are many interpretations, that's not for now. There are many very deep and beautiful interpretations. We're not doing that now. But that is a pasuk which generally refers to the requirement a person has to daven to Hashem, to acknowledge that Hashem is the source of parnasa. Okay, that's a buzzword in this generation. Parnasa, livelihood, sustenance, food, money to pay tuition, health insurance, and all of the necessities of life. If a person does not have this in mind, when he does not have in mind, he just goes through Ashrei without saying the pasuk Poseach es yodecha maspil l'chol chai rotzoin, he's supposed to go back. He's supposed to go back to that pasuk and start from there and continue to the end of Ashrei. That is the halacha. So isn't it interesting that these are the only two psukim in the entire davening that a person in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Shulchan Aruch, he must repeat, he must go back and say again. One pasuk represents the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your emunah, the most basic principle of faith in this world, that we are maimon, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the other pasuk is the pasuk of Parnasa. We need Hashem to provide us with sustenance. So when we come to Shmoneh Esrei, and we come, there are a lot of very nice things to pray for in the Shmoneh Esrei. We ask Hashem for knowledge. We ask Hashem to help us do teshuvah. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for Mashiach to come. We ask that our enemies should be eliminated. We ask Hashem for David HaMelech, for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Did I say that? I don't remember. I said already all these different things. We asked for law and order. Ashiva Shoifteinu Kivor Rishoinu Yatzeinu Kivat Tchila. We asked for a lot of things. But this blessing, blessing number 9, is really the blessing of Poseach Es Yodecha Umaspia L'chol Chai Ratzoin. So this is a blessing that don't take lightly. This is serious business. If in the davening we are required to repeat the pasuk Poseach Es Yodecha Umaspia L'chol Chai Ratzoin, certainly in the Shemoneh Esrei, where we make a bracha b'shem u'malchus, we should prioritize this blessing. Many people, you know, some people, they just don't have, it's very, very hard to daven. This is a big, big problem. This is a major problem, especially in our day and age where our minds are shot. And it's a major effort to concentrate. And some people who take davening more seriously than others, they prioritize the limited concentration they have for important parts of the prayer. And obviously the most important part of the Shemoneh Esrei is the first blessing. And then the next most important part of the Shemoneh Esrei is the Brach of Modim. But it would appear, it doesn't say this anywhere, I'm making this up, but it would appear that the next most important blessing would be Borech Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos, because it follows the pattern of the rest of davening, where it says in Shulchan Aruch that one must have kavana when he recites the pasuk Posech Es Yodecha. This blessing is an expansion upon that theme. Okay, now let's go further. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos. V'yes kol minesu v'asal l'toiva. What does the meaning here? We say Es Hashana Hazos, this year. It's very unique. We are, it's one day of the year. There are 365 days, or 354 days, or in a leap year, it's 360, 300 and whatever it is in a leap year. I don't know how to count, but there are a lot of days in the year. 365 on average. 365 days on average. So we pray to Hashem, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos. It's interesting. We're not asking Hashem, you know, today the stock market is open. I'm gonna delve in. I'm gonna look on the screen and pick a stock. You know, Hashem, help me out. Today, Hayoim, I'm gonna do a quick trade, you know, and one to the ore. I'm gonna go out into the market, I'm gonna go buy some merchandise. I own a store and there are customers who come in. Today, Hashem, I want today, not tomorrow, not next week. We don't do that. I want today. We don't do today. We ask Hashem this year, when I do my taxes next year on April 15th, you know, let's hope it should be a regular year where the world gets back to normal, and April 15th is April 15th, not May 15th and not July 15th. Let's hope the world gets back to normal. When I do my taxes and I look back at the year, oh, it should have been a year of blessing. Am I going to hold you accountable, Hashem, for today? If no customer walks into my shop today, it's okay. As long as you make it up to me by the time the year is over. Isn't that what it says? Now, if that's the case, why only go 1 year? How about 4 years? 6 years, Shemitah cycle, 7 years. Borech Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es HaShavua. Shavua means 7 years. Okay, there is Shavua. It's in the Mishnayos. It's used. There is the week, and then the word Shavua also means seven. It means a cycle of 7 years, the Shemitah cycle. Or maybe you want to go do a 10-year cycle, or you want to go do a 5-year cycle. I don't know. What the economy, how the economy works. I'm sure in the economy there are certain measures, there are certain markers that economists use to measure years, not just days and weeks and months, quarterly report, and then we have this report and that report. Certainly there's a marker in economic analysis in a collection of years. Look, you measure president's term. Okay, the president is in office, so they have the midterm elections every 2 years. You have the every 4 years. A senator is 6 years. Okay, certainly, when you want to measure success, you don't just look at 1 year. Why don't we ask Hashem the big picture? So the answer has to be, I'm making this up, the answer has to be, there has to be a sense of balance. Balance. It's not a healthy thing when every single penny you have, you put away for a rainy day. Every single penny you put away for retirement when you're 99 years old. That's not a way to live. Obviously, you know, yeah, you put away money for the future, obviously, you put away money for later in life. There's no question, but to deny yourself every pleasure, every convenience, because I have to put away every single penny for what's going to be when I'm going to be 80 years old, that's not a healthy, that's a sickness, that's an illness, that's you'll someone tell, oh, that's responsible. I think there's an extreme. Everything in life is a balance. On the other hand, we all know good and well, if a person spends every penny he has and is not concerned what's going to be tomorrow, what's going to be next year, that's also dangerous, a very dangerous way to live, to clean out your account every single day and not put anything away for the future. There has to be a balance. Chazal here appear to have created in our minds three times a day. We impress upon ourselves that a balance is determined in a year. Now, I don't know in the modern world, you know, in America, if that's considered to be responsible, it's probably not. Probably everyone here has been brought up where you don't look at a year, you look at a much bigger picture. You look at years ahead. It's true, but okay, I don't really know how we apply this in the modern world. But in the time of Chazal, it was obviously a very different world. There were no pensions, and there was no life insurance, and there was no health insurance, and there were no programs. It was a very different world, and people earned money. Gemara talks about all different types of workers. The person worries from year to year, you worry from day to day. There's a lot of discussion about this idea in the Gemara, but cannot ignore the fact that in this bracha, Chazal are impressing upon us, we ask Hashem to bless us in this year. This year. We don't hold Hashem hostage that we have to earn money today. Don't have unrealistic expectations that davening to Hashem today will result that today, this afternoon, I'm going to make it big. That's not realistic. But you do have a right to measure your success in tefillah, in prayer. Was your prayer successful? If you look back a year later from today and see where you're holding. If you look back a year later, today by Mincha, we said, Baruch Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashana Hazayis. Now, I know you'll say Hashana Hazayis means until the clock ticks, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's true. We say the same Nusach, Erev Rosh Hashanah, when there's only 5 minutes left until the 5 minutes left until the year is over. Okay, that I get it. But the fact that we use the word Hashanah, I think allows us a little leeway, a little liberty to understand that we look at our prayer in terms of a year when it comes to Parnassa. And basically we can test ourselves. I'm suggesting this to be true. Am I saying right? Am I saying maybe Abi Korsus Chas Hashem? I don't think so. Is a person, Chazal here in this bracha, have given man a right to test themselves to see if their bracha, if their prayer worked, if they really davened. Now, of course, Hashem can say no. You can never challenge Hashem. Hashem has the power. Hashem can tell a person no. But generally, al pi roiv, prayer works. Most of the time, roiv, Hashem says yes. If you daven sincerely for something, you put in the effort and the time and the energy, al pi roiv, most of the time, whether that means 60%, 51%, or it means 90% or 95%, I have no idea. Obviously, every person is different. But if we are given instructions to pray to Hashem, we have a right to assume that prayer generally works. Number two, you can't expect your prayer to be answered today. That is not realistic. You have to give Hashem some time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with hest upon him. Hashem hides himself. If Hashem would answer you instantaneously, then there would be no purpose in creating this world. Then there would be no bechira chafshes. There's no free will. this bracha is dynamite, because this bracha gives us a expiration date for our prayer. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos. That means Hashem, the clock is ticking. If you don't answer me within 1 year, that means you said no. And that means you're in trouble. Not that you're in trouble. It means you're going to have to defend yourself as to why you said no. Moshe Rabbeinu was very tough with you. Moshe said to Hashem, Tzadik v'raloi, it's not fair.
How can that be? You challenge a Kodesh Baruch?
You're not challenging. As I said, I gave a whole long Akdama. Tefillah works most of the time. There is a principle in this world called Tzadik v'raloi, Rasha v'toivloi. But that's not the norm. That is the exception. If Chazal gave us a Shemona Esrei to daven every single day, 3 times a day, this is not an exercise of futility. We have a right to assume that if we daven to Hashem, the prayers work. They're answered. Not all the time. Hashem sometimes says no because it's not good for us. But to say that 99% of the time Hashem says no, I can't prove it to you, but it doesn't seem that is what it's all about. We have emuna pshuta that Hashem very often says no. No is no. But it all depends what you're asking for. If you're being unrealistic, what do you expect? Therefore, if we dive into Hashem, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, as bless us. Okay, if we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to bless us, we have a right to expect that we will be blessed. So when? 20 years from now, 30 years from now, the next generation, my prayer has been put away for my great-great-grandchildren in 100 years from now. We come across that. We definitely come across that principle that no prayer goes unanswered. Every prayer is put away for some later point in time. I get it. It's 100% true. But you cannot ignore the fact that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol in this particular bracha put in an expiration date. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos. And we're now going to assume Hashana Hazos, the year doesn't end January 1st. It doesn't end the 29th day of the first day of Tishrei. If we say this nusach every single year, it's a general concept that a year, Hashanah, this year, birthday, a person's birthday, bar mitzvah boy is not Aleph Tishrei. It's on the day that he's born. Chazal, we didn't make the Shemona Esrei. Chazal wrote the Shemona Esrei. And Chazal could have just written, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, period. They didn't do that. They put into the Nusach Es Hashana Hazos. They knew what they were doing. They were coming, I'm telling you a drush, they're coming to say to Hashem, we're giving you 1 year, and if you don't respond within 1 year, then we're going to have to enter into a special class, take a shglona shir about Tzadik V'Raloi. Hashem, do you want me to go to the class of Tzadik V'Raloi with Moshe Rabbeinu and be part of that chabura of trying to understand Tzadik V'Raloi? Hashem, you want me to enroll? I don't think you want me to enroll in that class. And therefore, there is an understanding that a tefillah, it's a very powerful idea. What it says here in the short essay, Hashana Hazos. You cannot hold Hashem hostage. You cannot ask from Hashem something unreasonable. But Hashem did create us, and He did not create us that we should suffer. He created us that we should be able to earn a livelihood, make a parnasa, and survive. And part of that process is our requirement to daven to Hashem. And the Nusach says Hashanah Hazayis, which means a year is a reasonable amount of time for us to expect that within a year my prayers will bear fruit. You make an investment. You dive into Hashem sincerely. It's an investment that within a year your prayers will bear fruit. And if they don't bear fruit, it means Hashem said no. And Hashem has the right to say no. But we have to understand, saying no is the exception. It is not the norm. Some people, you know, they live with this principle that everything is no. Everything is no. Everything that you do, forget it. Prayer is just an exercise in emunah. And everything is no, 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 no. Have zero expectations that your prayer is going to work. It can't be. It can't be such a thing. I know there are Bali Mus that talk like that. Listen, maybe that's for very holy people from who knows. But the average person, you got to learn with the Ramchal. Ramchal learns basic, Hashem did not put you in this world to torture you. Hashem put you in this world to allow you to maneuver in a normal, healthy way. The way that you can relate to and understand. Okay, let's go to another idea. So Baruch Hashem Kenes Hashem Azayis, the Eskol Mine Sivua Sol L'Toiva. And we ask Hashem, now let's expand upon this. We ask Hashem Es Hashana Hazos. Okay, this idea is a little bit different. We're asking Hashem, everything I said until now is complete, and now we're moving on to a different idea, a whole different idea. In this idea, when we say Hashana Hazos, let's make believe, we're asking Hashem, I have today a store. I'm telling you the complete opposite of what I just said before. I have a store. It's now 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei. I'm going to go into my store. And I'm telling you, Hashem, I want someone, a customer, to walk in. And I want to make a lot of money from a customer. Not just today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Es Hashanah Hazos. I'm not just davening for my success today, I'm davening that I should be successful tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, every single day. In the first interpretation, I told you, I want to be successful just once. Just once in a whole year. In this interpretation, it's just the opposite. I want to be successful every single day. And to emphasize that point, what do I say? The S call. Mine sivu asa l'toiva. Not just one commodity, every commodity. Stocks, bonds, cryptocurrency, forex, widgets, and the gold and silver, you name it, everything that exists in this world, everything. In other words, the entire economy. And then we go on to say the same berachah of the same tal umotor levrach al pnei ho'adama. That's a powerful word. Pnei ho'adama simply means the whole world. The whole world. The face of the earth. The whole world. Wow. Not just this year, the entire year. Not just today, the whole year. Not just the commodity that I specialize in. It's in every commodity that exists in this world, not just locally in this city, country, state, but throughout the entire world. And then we ask, v'sabeinu mituvecha, we want satisfaction, okay? Uvarech shnosenu kash, those are the ideas which we'll get to a little bit, we'll get a little bit later. And then we can, baruch ato Hashem, mivarech hashanim. Now, when we contrast this blessing with the previous blessing, which a lot of the commentators do, they're very into this, and it's contrasting the ones that are juxtaposed. In the previous blessing, we made a very big deal about Baruch Ato Hashem, Rofei Choylei Amo Yisrael. Okay? I told you this morning, if this was, you type this into Google Docs, Google has announced that they're spell checker and the grammar checker will make suggestions to make your words more inclusive. So if you would put into the computer the blessing of Baruch of Rifa'enu, there would be a green line on the Baruch Atah Hashem Rafei Cholei Amo Yisrael, and Google will tell you that's racist. Only the Jewish people deserve healing. The whole world needs healing. Okay, they'll tell you it's racist. It's not a joke I'm telling you. This is what I could not believe when I saw this. Cannot believe what this world has come to. What's their business? Mind your own business. What are you going and clicking into people's private documents? It's unbelievable how this world and how technology and the people who control it have literally taken over the world. So in the Bracha of Refa'enu, Chazal said, Refei Cholei Amo Yisrael. In Baruch Oleinu, we're praying for a global economy. Al Pnei Ho'adam. It doesn't say here, Al Pnei Yisrael, Al Pnei Yerushalayim, Al Pnei Eretz Yisrael. And the Baruch includes Baruch Atah Hashem, Mivarech, you bless Hashanim. There's no mention that we're only asking for parnasa for Klal Yisrael. Isn't that interesting? When it comes to healing, refuah, we're only praying for us. Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. And when it comes to Baruch Aleinu, that's the bracha that's juxtaposed, it appears that the blessing is going out of its way to be inclusive.
But you told us that the Rofa is because the center of the illness problems in the world stands for it.
So you could say whatever answer you'll say for there, you could say the same exact thing for Parnassus.
That's what you told us.
Right, correct. So that answer, that's not my answer. It's all Chazal said we'd be that answer. So you can say the exact same thing, that if there is prosperity in Eretz Yisrael, automatically that prosperity will spread to the entire world. So just like the essence of Refuah is in Klal Yisrael, from there it spreads to the healing that comes to Klal Yisrael will trickle down to the entire world. It will be a trickle-down economy when the Jewish people are blessed. You could say exactly the same thing. Whatever answer you're going to give as to why we want to focus exclusively on healing for the Jewish people, it should be the same exact thing when it comes to prosperity. And yet, we don't do that. Yet, when it comes to prosperity, we openly pray for the entire world. Al Pnei Ho'adoma, the entire world. There's no mention. It does say, V'sabeinu mituvecho. You know, there are two gersois. V'sabeinu mituva, its blessing, which indeed refers to Eretz Yisrael. But there, you know, it only makes the question even worse because we're using the blessing of Eretz Yisrael should spread to the whole world. It makes it almost more explicit that we want the entire world to be blessed. And if you just say, V'sabeinu mituvecha, then we don't even mention, we just say from your blessing, Hashem. But when you contrast this blessing, the previous blessing, it's very interesting. We're really praying for the entire world. We're not praying for us. Why is that so? The question bothers me very much. I don't have a satisfactory answer. The question is better than the answer, but let's focus on two things. When it comes to refuah, healing, it's very possible, the Chazal say that our physical makeup of a Jewish, of a Klal Yisrael, the Gemara does say is different. The Gemara says that because the Jewish people, they are didoigei b'mitzvahs, they're warriors. Jewish people are always worried, and their blood pressure is higher. This is a whole different, you know, there is an element of genetics that make different races really different. Okay, this is a very big thing today. This is not, my sister in Boston, she told me that in Boston there was a conference where they targeted Darius Sharim as being a racist organization, because they're identifying genes that are prevalent Jews who come from Eastern Europe. And in the climate of society that we live in today, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do, everything has to be all-inclusive. So an institute, a scientific medical institute that is identifying genes that are unique to Eastern European Jews and receives government money, is a racist organization. Even though in the process it saves lives and does a lot of good, doesn't matter. Whoever said it, it has to make sense. What do I take out of that? There is an element you see from this, is that there are certain illnesses, and this is a fact, in all different types of illness, there are certain illnesses that are unique to African Americans. There are certain illnesses that are unique to Asians. There's certain illnesses that are unique to Mexicans. This is a fact. This is nothing, not a waste. This is just a reality of living in different parts of the world and subject to different conditions, which over generations have caused the body to develop and become vulnerable in different ways. This is the way Hashem. So it's not such a question then when we pray for Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. Because we are responsible first and foremost for our own. We're not responsible to find a solution for every disease in every part of the world. We have to take care of ourselves. When it comes to the economy, Chazal here seem to acknowledge from the get-go, there's no such thing as a local economy. Chazal are way ahead of their time. We probably imagine that in ancient times, the economy is in a primitive world, a primitive society, an economy is local. You live in a little shtetl, and amongst yourselves, everyone can make a livelihood. Is that really true? Was there ever such a... What?
Look what happened with the...
Exactly. So is that the time of Yes Shev B'Mitzrayim? We don't really know how the society in Egypt, how it worked, Canaan, but Chazal seemed to already from way, way back to have a very great appreciation that there's really no such thing as a local economy. There's no such thing. When it comes to refuah, genetics, illnesses that person that a person is vulnerable, Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. We're not here to solve the world's problems. We have to take care of ourselves. This is davening. We do pray, but we say in the Ashiyotzar, Rofei Chol Basar Mafli Latzois. We acknowledge there are times we do pray for the whole world. But in the Shemona Esrei, which is really a private prayer, everything in the Shemona Esrei is all about Klal Yisrael. It's about Ato Chonel, the Das, we're talking about Torah, learning, Siat HaShemayim, learning, doing Teshuvah, Slach Lanu. The truth is, the Shemona Esrei, and then you get to the later brachos, it's about the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Mashiach, Avoida. Let's be realistic. This is a private prayer. This is not a prayer service for Goyim. It's for us. So when it comes to Refuah, we pray for our own. And our refuah is not necessarily relevant to other races in this world. We wish them well. We'll do whatever we can to help them, as we have done all along in every generation. As someone doesn't try to kill us, we're very happy to be their friend and to be good to them. We daven Asher Yotzer every single day, Rofei Chol Basar Mafli La'asos. But we daven a private Shemona Esrei. It's acknowledged today in the world, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a doctor, obviously. I don't know very much about this, but I'm guessing, and I'm getting a sense of different little tidbits of information that I get here and there, is that Klal Yisrael, our refuah, our physical well-being, is not necessarily dependent upon the well-being of the entire world. Now, I know you'll tell me when it comes to like Corona, You know, and there are and polio, Rahmul Islam, and all these other type of illnesses, there is a certain issue, a certain vulnerability that affects humanity, 100%, or fechol basar. But there's also, without a question, certain physical vulnerabilities that cause us to be ill that's unique to us. But Chazal understood from the very beginning that when it comes to a healthy economy, there's no such thing. There's no such thing that even on us, even in Klal Yisrael, we can be successful in having parnasa only amongst ourselves. The way Hashem created the world is wealth, success, and parnasa, the only way it works is through a global economy. You can't go have an economy only in Brooklyn. Okay, no money goes in, no money goes out, no imports, no exports, just focus on what's available. The United States would not trade with any other country, they'll go bankrupt. They'll go bankrupt overnight. That's the way the world is. And we're part of that world. And we can't expect that we're going to be successful just amongst ourselves. Hashem, you give parnas to the Jewish people. That's not the way it works. If the world economy is healthy, then we are financially healthy. If the world economy is sluggish, then our economy is sluggish. Thus, when we pray, we have no choice but to pray for the world economy. That's what appears. That's why this bracha. Okay, we're out of time. Maybe next week we'll do a little bit more. Okay, there are other ideas, but we're out of time. We'll stop over here. Thank you for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. Be well.
Thank you, Rabbi.